Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Stahmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
Good afternoon, Mr. David Falk. It's good that you are back to Da Nang, giving us some advice in further developing the one-stop shop for business registration here in the Department of Planning and Investment in Da Nang. And we also want to use this chance to produce a podcast talking about business registration and one-stop shops in Vietnam, but also globally. I understand that you are a well-known expert in this field. Could you please shortly introduce yourself?
Thank you, Christian. My background is in company registration in the UK. I handled most of the functions relating to business registration there over a period of something like 17 years. But during my time there, I started dealing with other countries, and over the last 6 years or so, I've been working full-time as a consultant operating in various parts of the world, ranging from small Caribbean islands to the Russian Federation and several countries in Africa.
You're dealing a lot with business registration, that time back in the UK, and now also consulting in different parts of the world. The key question and the first question I want to ask you is, why does business registration matter?
Most governments seem to start from the point of view that they need business registration from the point of view of controlling activities or collecting information for the purposes of economic analysis and management of the economy. But there is another side which is probably just as important and maybe more important, and that is the needs of business. Businesses also need certainty. They want to be recognized for what they are, and that their activities will be lawful. In many cases, they will also be looking for benefits associated with corporate status, to be a company with limited liability for its shareholders. The idea of a limited liability company is very important in many countries in terms of developing business structures. And also, there is another very important feature of business registration from the point of view of business, and that is that businesses need information about other businesses. And this is something which, in Vietnam in particular, we can look to develop over the coming years. As yet, it's not got very far, but it should be an important feature of business registration activity.
So tell me, there are a lot of public-private interaction that matters for businesses. Business registration is one of those interactions, but there are others, like, for example, applying for land, trying to acquire land to get credits, trying to get specific licenses and permits for running a business. But when you look at development work and also at the administrative reforms in many developing countries, first and foremost, donors and local government look at business registration. Why is that? Why has business registration such a prominent significance?
I think for most of the activities which you mentioned, business registration is a starting point. In principle, it should be the situation that an organization, we're talking about an individual business or a company, should only have to provide information to a government body once. That there should be far better sharing of information between government bodies. In business registration, the initial information which so many organizations want is gathered together at one time, and it should be possible for other organizations to deal with that and to use the business registration as a starting point. I think the other feature is that people recognize this as something which can be tackled, which isn't necessarily so difficult to solve, though in some cases it has proved very difficult. It is a common feature throughout all countries, regardless of their legal systems, their political backgrounds, they all have some form of business registration activity. And it is an area where administrative reform can start. And once you can do the business registration activity, then you can certainly move on to other things as well.
One of the concepts, or let's say institutionalized concepts, of registering a business in many countries, and I observe particularly in Vietnam, is the so-called one-stop shop. It's a buzzword, and somehow it's considered being sexy to open one-stop shops. And one-stop shops in Vietnam are opened everywhere in every kind of department. There are also interdepartmental one-stop shops, for example, for business registration. Please, David, explain to us, what is a one-stop shop?
The problem with the one-stop shop concept is that it means something different to almost everybody you speak to. The idea of a one-stop shop, that it should be a shop providing a service to a customer, goes back a long way. And the idea really is that people dealing particularly with government organizations should be able to go to one place and, in an ideal world, deal with just one person. However, we've found lots of examples of one-stop shops, and they follow a few different patterns. I think we can call them probably the single door, the single window, and the single portal. The single door involves you going to one place, dealing with several different people in the same place. Now, that saves you travel time. It may be simpler. Certainly don't need to go to lots of different locations. So that there are benefits from that. The single window approach goes one step further and says that having gone through your one door, you only have to deal with one person, and they will sort out the information and the approvals, whatever is necessary, from other parts of government. Now, that is a big saving, potentially, as far as the citizen, the customer, is concerned. All this is talking about regarding the citizen as a customer of a one-stop shop. The ultimate in a one-stop shop, I suppose, is not a physical shop at all. It's a virtual shop in terms of an online portal on a web page. And that is a development which is occurring in several countries at the moment.
Thanks for this overview. One-stop shops, or the introduction of one-stop shops, pursue the objective to reduce the compliance cost of companies when registering a business. Make it easier, make it quicker, reduce the number of travels to the public authority in order to register a business. One-stop shops, they have been introduced in order to achieve this objective. The question is, are they managing to achieve this objective? That means, do one-stop shops work or don't they work? And if they work, under which circumstances do they work?
Generally, if people have got the right approach to setting up a one-stop shop, which probably means putting the needs of the customer first rather than just setting up an organization in a certain format because you need to do that, then you will get results. If you look at things from the point of view of the customer rather than from the point of view of the officials, you will see ways of simplifying procedures to making life easier. An effective one-stop shop, you will find, results in fewer interactions with customers. Serving customers actually means dealing with them on fewer occasions. If you think about the logic of that, you are not actually serving a customer by dealing with them several times. Ideally, the customer wants to come to your one-stop shop once and to get all the services that he needs. So we're looking for fewer interactions with customers, which saves the customer time, and time is money. And the procedures, as a result, will be simpler. It should be for the officials to sort out issues between themselves. If different departments have different requirements, they should be consulting between themselves as how best to deal with those. It shouldn't be a problem for the customer. Departments should be able to share information, and by and large we find that so many departments require the same information. By rationalizing the procedures, we will find that the time is shorter, that the whole process of registration and all the things that go with this takes less time, and less time means less cost. So it should be a situation where both the customer sees the benefit in reduced time and cost, and also that there is improvement in the efficiency as regards the operators of the one-stop shop, and therefore they will see their own benefits as well.
Right, but addressing now the critical success factors, what kind of factors can you name that are very important for implementing a successful one-stop shop? That means, finally, that a one-stop shop is not becoming something like a one-more-stop shop.
Certainly, it has often been the view that in some situations, introducing a one-stop shop simply because that is the done thing to do can introduce another level of complication. I've known situations where people have talked about setting up one-stop shops for investors. Now, investors may have to deal with a number of different government bodies. If they can deal with one body, that is fine. But if that one body simply redirects you to other bodies, that's not really so great an improvement. If you've still got to deal with all the different people, all the different procedures, all the different requirements, that is not actually obtaining the proper benefits from a one-stop shop. The first thing, really, is coordination between all the departments concerned. The departments need to sort out their issues, the information which they share, who needs what information, why they need it, what approvals are needed, and can these all be integrated into a simple single procedure. That may be quite a complex operation, all told, and it may be that it has to be implemented in several stages, but it's something that people can work towards. The first thing is cooperation. If you look for cooperation between the departments. The second is looking particularly at the impact on the customer, how many times he comes, how difficult the procedures are for the customer. If you can do both those things, then you should improve both the time, the number of visits, and the complexity and cost of the whole operation.
Let's have a look at the cost, particularly the fees that the customer is expected to pay when registering a business. This is very different from country to country. We have countries like, for example, Denmark, where no costs or no fees are charged at all, but I think it's the only country. Maybe you know better. And then there are countries, particularly some African countries, where registering a business amounts to several hundred percent of the GDP per capita. Can you give us an overview regarding the official and unofficial fees for registering a business around the world, maybe some international comparison? And also tell us how one-stop shops can contribute to reducing these fees.
Denmark is a particularly interesting example. We've now reached the stage where all registrations in Denmark are handled electronically. The result of this is that the cost to the registry is virtually nothing, so there is no charge. In fact, the reason that they are able to operate this system is that they deal specifically with organizations, principally lawyers, who are registered on their electronic filing system. They do actually pay a subscription fee to be on that system. So it's not entirely without cost, but any individual registration is without cost. The countries of the European Union have been cooperating on business registration issues over many years. The first European Company Law Directive goes back to 1968, and they have come up with a number of points of principle, including one on cost, and that is basically that it is reasonable to recover the costs of providing the service, but in providing the business registration service, governments should not be looking to make a profit. Business registration should not be a form of taxation. The principle is there that it should be as easy as possible to start up a new business. When the business is successful and making profits, then you can tax the profits. But as far as startup of the business is concerned, the business is going to need every encouragement and should not be put off by excessive costs. I think if you look at the countries which have got the lowest costs are associated with the most efficient procedures. So the two things actually go together. The expensive countries tend to have more complex procedures and justify the costs on those grounds. But I think most people would say that that's not really the way forward, and the trend certainly towards the costs coming down.
Thank you, David. So this was about costs of business registration and some international comparison. Let's look at the organization of business registration globally. So what are current trends you can observe?
I think the most obvious trend internationally is the move towards electronic filing. I spoke recently about the situation regarding the European Union. It is now a requirement for the countries in the EU, we're now talking about 27 countries, that they should be able to receive applications electronically, and on the other hand also to make information available electronically. That is a trend that we're seeing in all parts of the world. In terms of how things are organised, as far as specific functions are concerned, business registration is attached to various ministries in various countries, and in some cases we are talking about private sector organizations, chambers of commerce. In some countries we are dealing with court system. There is a move away from court systems. It would be oversimplistic to say that there is a consensus in where business registration fits in the government network. I think the trend is towards regarding this as a function of trade, development of commerce. The department which is responsible for the development of business is probably the one which is most appropriate. There is also a very specific move towards treating this as a discrete function handled by a separate agency, usually not always attached to a ministry. This can be operated on a semi-commercial basis. In the right circumstances, an organization like that can pay for itself out of its fee income and still provide an excellent service to the business community. There is a move from those countries which used to have regional or provincial systems working towards nationally based systems. Information is becoming more essential as organizations look further afield for their customers. Whereas businesses once dealt with people in their own locality, they are looking further and further afield. So it's not just a matter of looking at your local region or your local province. People want to know about businesses operating throughout their country and indeed businesses in other countries. One interesting development has been with the European Business Register, which now actually brings together information from 19 different European registers and offers that in a variety of languages, but a standard format. Everywhere we go, we are looking at sharing of information between departments. A theme that I mentioned just now, that the citizen should not need to provide the same information more than once. A particular area where this is evident is in the merging of business registration and tax registration. This is coming up time and time throughout the world, and there are now many, many countries which are looking to bring those functions together. But it should be going a lot further than that. There are a whole range of organizations involved in business startup, and they should be able to share that information and treat the startup as a single process as far as is possible.
Please let us have a look at Vietnam, the case of Vietnam. You had the chance to travel to different provinces to assess the proceedings and the progress made in improving the system of registering businesses. In the last 12 months, I think you have been traveling around here, also contracted by our European Union Vietnam Private Sector Support Program. You have been to Haiphong, to Da Nang, to Can Tho, I think to Hue also. And you could observe the current trends. And you did also, of course, give advice. And we just learned here in Da Nang that some of these advices, or many of these advices, have been considered and are about to be implemented, or partly have already been implemented, which, of course, for every consultant is a very satisfying experience. So can you tell us, what did you observe currently in Vietnam?
I think one of the things to recognize in Vietnam is that the idea of a one-stop shop has quite a long history and it's been a long-standing part of government policy. So the total concept is not new. But the way that we are implementing one-stop shops now with a single window approach is more than has been done previously in most parts. What I have found through various provinces I've been working at is a great level of enthusiasm to improve business registration. People accept in principle the value of a one-stop shop, but there are a variety of views on what is the way to implement the guidance which has been provided at national level. We've experienced difficulty in several of the provinces so far in moving from the idea of a one-door one-stop shop to the one-window approach. And a particular problem there has been the provincial security departments, which expect to deal direct with the enterprise on delivery of a seal. But that is something that people are working on at the moment, and I know that Da Nang are considering proposals to overcome that particular problem. Generally, there is a need for improved trust between departments. There's a need to recognise that as far as an enterprise is concerned, the business has no interest in the demarcation which exists between government departments. They are dealing with government and trying simply to meet government requirements. The computer systems we've experienced are of variable quality. I know that there was an MPI program a few years ago with the idea of computerizing business registration in many of the provinces, but that system is lacking the requirements of the present law. And there are new systems developing, and there's scope for sharing between provinces. I think gradually that there is becoming some consistency of approach between the provinces, and I think there is a lot of scope for them working together. There is still really very little information about enterprises which is publicly available. That's gradually changing, but I hope to see more information on websites. There are websites so far, but the information there tends to be general guidance, maybe forms, as opposed to information on specific businesses. Electronic filing does exist in some provinces, but as yet it is a fairly early stage. It is hampered by the need for clear legislation and probably problems of culture which are associated with physical documentation and the use of seals. At present, there is no law governing e-signatures. Some people think that Vietnam is not ready for e-registration. I would disagree with that. The take-up may be slow at the moment, but I think that there's a new generation of entrepreneurs that will have experience of computers, and they will expect services to be delivered electronically. That's the situation as I've found it in the provinces. As I mentioned just now, there's a trend towards national registration, a trend worldwide, and I don't think that Vietnam is really any exception to that. It's good to see that Vietnam is talking to its neighbours. I know that recently cooperated in a meeting of the Corporate Registers Forum involving business registers from Asia and the Pacific. And I think that there's scope for learning from other countries as well as working between individual provinces. Ultimately, it should be possible to register via the internet, but it's going to take a while. But more important, and probably something which can be achieved sooner, is the potential for obtaining information on any Vietnamese enterprise via the internet. I think what we're looking for generally is a system which will be simpler, more efficient, and more useful both to government and to business.
What a nice conclusion. I think you're exactly hitting the point. There are also international surveys on a regular basis, like the Doing Business Survey of World Bank, and here we can also observe the changes in the position of the different countries. Just recently, the Doing Business report places Vietnam in 2008 on position 91 in general for all factors observed, and for starting a business, it is position 97. However, in 2007, the position was 90. That means Vietnam moved down the table. So how can this be explained? There are a lot of efforts in the country in order to improve the administrative situation and to reform the regulatory framework, also in terms of starting a business, in terms of business registration. How would you explain that?
There are a number of different issues here. Doing business doesn't really tell the whole story. The first thing is that the report report looks at the principal city or the principal commercial city in each country. And in the case of Vietnam, it considers the position as it exists, or it is seen to exist, in Ho Chi Minh City. It is also the position as perceived by users of the services. Generally, these are responses from lawyers and other professionals around the world rather than the views of officials. We're only talking about one city. That obviously means that it doesn't reflect the situation throughout the whole of the country. In a lot of countries, there will be a standard level of performance throughout the country because there are national systems. In Vietnam, we have a provincial organization, and the situation varies from province to province. Therefore, as much as we improve the situation in Da Nang, I'm afraid that's not going to make very much difference to the doing business rankings for the country. The other thing is, you don't have to do anything very bad to go down in the rankings. As you mentioned, Vietnam has gone down in terms of the ranking for starting a business from position 90 last year to 97 this year. That's not because Vietnam has got worse. It's because other countries have got better. And I think that reinforces the point I made earlier, that countries throughout the world are trying to improve business registration. There is a great emphasis on this as a key feature of administrative reform. And hopefully this is something which can be picked up. The international rankings are an indication. Sometimes I think perhaps too much attention goes to the headline figures as opposed to the detail that lies underneath. And obviously what happens in provinces in Vietnam is very significant as far as the businesses in Vietnam are concerned. So there's every reason to improve on performance here.
Well, David, thank you very much for this conversation. It was very interesting. And also thank you for all your input and advice you gave to Da Nang province and to the other provinces in the private sector support program, and I hope that there might be other occasions in the future to meet and to work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. It's been a great pleasure.